Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is migrating from WebSphere MQ 7.0 to a later version. The presenter is Angel Rivera. Angel is a member of the WebSphere MQ support team for Unix and Windows platforms. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Angel.
Thank you, Kathy. Hello, MQ fans. I work with the MQ Level 2 support team for Unix and Windows in the Research Triangle Park in North Carolina in the USA. I hope that you're having a great time. Thank you very much for taking the time from your busy schedule to attend this conference call or to listen to the recording of this presentation. The main motivation for preparing this presentation is to provide practical steps for addressing common questions that we see in service request tickets or in PMRs. The scope and audience for this presentation is for beginners, and if you have questions regarding this topic, please post your question in the following forum from IBM. It's called DW Answers. This forum is monitored by MQ Support, MQ Change Team, and the MQ Development Teams. Okay, let's go to the next page, please. Slide number 2, agenda. During this presentation, the keywords migration and upgrade are used with the same meaning, which is this. You have a Windows or a Unix machine with MQ 7.0, and after performing certain tasks, at the end of the process, you will have MQ 7.1 or 7.5 or 8.0, okay? The timing of this presentation is very important because the end of support for MQ 7.0 is approaching very fast. It is the 30th of September 2015, which is 7 weeks from now. And we'll address to which version to upgrade. We have three choices, 7.1, 7.5, and 8.0. We recommend version 8.0 because it is the most recent one. It has all the functions that is included in 7.1, 7.5, and additional features that were introduced in 8.0. And also, the end of support will come after the end of support of 7.1 and 7.5. By the way, the end of support dates have not been announced yet for them. But this means that more time will pass before you need to do another upgrade of MQ. And there are two options to install the new version. One is keeping only one installation. In a sense, you are going to uninstall 7.0 and install the new one. This is the only option that you had if you were using MQ 5.3 or 6.0 or even 7.0. That's the only choice. Okay, but in 7.1, we introduce a new feature, and it's called multi-version or multi-installation. And you can have multiple installations of MQ in the same machine, and that's the second option that you have. We call it also coexistence 7.0 with 7.1 or later. And we will mention some very thorough tutorials for Windows and Unix for the above two options. And during this presentation, I will provide some workarounds and recommendations. Let's go to slide number 3, please. Okay. Then the objective is just to give you procedures, considerations, and guidelines for migrating / upgrading from IBM WebSphere NQ 7.0 on distributed platforms, which are specifically AIX, HPUX, Linux, Solaris, and Windows, to a later release such as 7.1 on 7.5 or 8.0. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. Number 4. This is the only time I'm going to talk about these particular versions. MQ 5.3 and MQ 6.0 are out of support. However, we still have customers who are using these versions, and I wanted to let them know that for MQ 5.3, you can, yes, you can, migrate to 6.0 and 7.0. However, you cannot migrate in a single jump to 7.0.1, 7.1, 7.5, or 8.0, okay? If you're using NQ version 6.0, which we have more customers using it than NQ 5.3 at this time, you can migrate to 7.0, 7.1, and 7.5, but you cannot migrate to 8.0. In short, if you want to migrate from these old releases to NQ 8.0, then you must do it in two stages. For example, you have to go to 7.1 first, and then to 8.0, okay? Let's go to the next slide, please. This is page number 5. Okay. The end of support for NQ 7.0, it is the end of September 2015. Again, at the time that we have this presentation, it's almost 7 weeks away. And it will include also the end of support for the NQ file transfer edition 7.0.0 and 7.0.1. And this includes all components, server, client, and all platforms. Okay? And let's go to the... before we go to the next slide, let me give you some potential scenarios, okay? Because I just realized that I didn't have a slide about this. Okay, what will happen in October 1st, the day after the end of support? Okay, let's talk about scenario number one. You open a VMR for NQ 7.0 on the 29th of September. Well, what will happen to the PMR on October 1st? Answer, NQ support will continue to work the PMR for 7.0 that were opened before the end of support, even if the customer does not have an extended support contract. Okay? We are grandfathering those PMRs that were opened before the end of support. Okay. Now, let's go to scenario number two. You open a PMR for NQ 7.0 on October 1st, and you purchased an extended support contract before the end of support. Then the answer is NQ support will contact the IBM team that checks for the support entitlement based on the extended support. If they confirm that indeed there is an extended support contract, then NQ support will work on the PMR. Okay? Scenario number three. You open a PMR for NQ 7.0 on October 1st and you do not have an extended support contract. Answer, NQ support will contact the IBM team that checks for entitlement. And if they tell us that there is no extended support contract, then I'm sorry, but the NQ support team will not work on the PMR. And will notify you that you will need to purchase such extended support contract or that you reproduce the problem on NQ 7.1 or later. Okay? Let's go to the next page, please, slide 6. I am including this type of slide in the presentation in order to provide you with some additional information. I know that the font is smaller and it has far more information, but most likely I will not go through every single word in these slides, okay? It is for you when you download the PDF version format of this presentation, just in case you are curious and you can take a look at this information. There are some things that I want to, just 2 points that I want to address from here. It says, how do I purchase a support extension for my current version? In other words, is it possible for you to get support for PMRs to be open for NQ 7.0 after September 2015? And the answer is yes. Your company can purchase a support extension for NQ 7.0, and please contact your IBM marketing representative for details. Now, I'm skipping the rest of the slide, and let's go to the next one, please. This is slide 7, and here are some notes that I want to address. Okay, the first question is, let's suppose that you have WebSphere Application Server, WAS, version 7, which bundles the NQJMS client at version 7. And while you are working with WAS 7, you discover that there is a problem with NQJMS client 7. And then you say, well, it's October 1st. I do not have an extended support contract for NQ because WAS is still available. Then in this situation, when NQ is bundled with a product that is still supported, NQ support will honor that bundling product status and will say, yes, we are going to address the problem from the MQJMS client 7.0, which is shipped with WASP 7.0, okay? But the caveat is this. It has to be within the context of WASP. If you copy the MQJMS client jar files into another host and you start working with them and you say, well, I was working with this other product and I was using these old MQJMS clients and I'm having a problem, but the jar files are in bundle. Well, sorry, we will not support that particular scenario. It has to be within the contents of the product that bundles the MQJMS 7.0 code. Okay. And another question is, okay, you are getting ready for the migration and you want to have, you don't find a copy of the 7.0 code, and you say, well, how do I download that 7.0 code from Passport Advantage, from IBM Passport Advantage? And I'm including here the tech note that describes what are the part numbers that you can use to do searches in IBM Passport Advantage. The search function in Passport Advantage, when you use type text, sometimes you get results that are a little bit difficult to interpret. Then the best way, the most efficient way, is to search. There is an option that you can search for part number. Then if you go to this tech doc and find out, okay, I want to download the MQ code for AIX, then you just go down the list. And you see, oh, it is associated with this part number, C something, something, something. And then you just copy that C something, something, something into a search box in Passport Advantage, and bang, you will have far less file sets that you, far less entries that you can quickly scan and select. Okay? Let's go to the next page, please. And that will be slide number 8. Okay. Okay, let's take a look. I know that 7.0 is going to be out to support in the end of September. Are there any published dates for the end of support of the other versions? At this point, we do not have announced the end of support for any of the other versions for MQ. However, we have, in general, the strategy is for an IBM product to be in the field for 5 years. Again, this is a general principle. And based on that principle that is for 5 years, then let's take a look at when those products were released. NQ 7.1 was released in November 2011. Then most likely, following this model, the end of support might be September 2016, next year, okay? For 7.5, the end of support might be September 2017. And for 8.0, the most likely end of support will be September 2019. Therefore, you say, okay, which version should I upgrade to? We do not recommend that you just go to 7.1. Why? Because you will have to migrate now to 7.1, and next year, before September 2016, you have to upgrade again. Okay, but it's your choice, but we will not recommend it. Most likely, we recommend 7.1, but definitely version 8, which is the latest one. In that way, you will not have to worry about any upgrades until 2019. Okay? Let's go to the next page, please. Okay. Then, sorry, I just went ahead and described to you the what is the a recommendation for you. Version 8 is the recommendation because you will have all the latest updates and you will have also more time before doing another upgrade. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 10. And this is a question that we have. Some customers have 7.0. Let's suppose that it's 7.0.1.12. And they say, okay, I'm going to download MQ 7.1 or MQ 7.5. They think that they are just six packs. They do not go to IBM Passport Advantage. Passport Advantage is the place where you can download the full product. You need to be entitled. You have to have purchased the product. We have a second site, which is IBM Fix Central, in which we provide only the deltas of the six packs. Okay? It means that if you have a pristine environment and if you go to IBM Fix Central and download a fix pack, you cannot install the product and you cannot run it because you don't have the complete code. You have only a delta that needs to be installed on top of the existing platform. Anyway, then these people go to IBM Fix Central, download a fix pack for 7.1, and then they get surprised that they cannot install that fix pack on top of 7.0. And the reason for this slide is to clarify that 7.1, 7.5, and 8.0 are not fix packs on existing releases. They are separate editions, separate releases, separate versions of MQ, and each one requires its own license. Okay? Okay, let's go now to the next page, please. Page 11. Can you upgrade directly to 8.0? Again, we are not discussing 5.3 or 6.0. We're discussing now MQ 7.0. Yes, you can upgrade directly. And if you want to upgrade directly from 7.0 to 8.0, yes, you can do it. You do not have to upgrade to 7.1 and then upgrade to 7.5 and then upgrade to 8.0. You do not have to do it, okay? Now, if you are using 7.0.0.0, the first, without any, the early version of 7.0, you cannot upgrade directly to 8.0. You need to upgrade at least to 7.0.1, and then you can upgrade directly to 8.0. Let's go to the next page, please. Okay. And the next three slides, I'm going to cover just what is new in a brief way. I mean, this is not a marketing spiel. And there is our URL at the top of this page in which you can find out more details. I just wanted to give you some highlights on what is new in MQ 7.1. Very important feature is a security feature called Channel Authentication Records. This one allows to have a queue manager that is created or is managed with more security. And one of the side effects is that people who are not aware of this new feature, then when they are trying to do a remote access as an NQ administrator to a queue manager that has been migrated or to 7.1 or later, then they find that they cannot do it, because we are tightening up the security, and we have a technical document that I'll mention later on how to do some workarounds on this condition. Another important feature in 7.1 is that we can have multiple installations of MQ in the same machine. For example, in Unix, in Linux in particular, if you don't specify anything, when you install MQ on Linux, it will be in /opt/nqm. That's it. And that's how it worked in 7.0 and 6.0 and so on. However, this time you can say, well, I want to create my own /opt/nqm 7.1, for example, then, or another directory called /opt/nqm 7.5. In that way, you can have 7.1 installed in NQM 7.1 and then 7.5 in the other directory. Then you can have multiple directories that have different versions of MQ, and this is possible starting with 7.1. And also, 7.1 introduces telemetry, which requires its own license. Then if you install all, if you want to use all the features, then you will need to get two licenses. One is for the queue manager, and the other is for usage of the telemetry function. Let's go to the next page, please. This is page 13, and this is similar to the previous slide, but for 7.5. 7.5 introduces very little new function. The main change in 7.1.5 is how it was packaged. Two different products that were standalone that needed to be applied on top of MQ were the Advanced Message Security, or AMS, and also the File Transfer Edition. The functionality for those two products have now been included inside 7.5. then when you if you want to install all the features, then you will have AMS, I mean Advanced Message Security, Managed File Transfer, Telemetry, and Queue Manager. And this and the following is an important consideration. From the licensing point of view, you will require, if you want to exploit all the functions, you need to have four licenses, one for the Queue Manager, another for NQ Telemetry, another for AMS, another for the Managed File Transfer. Okay? If you do not want to use Telemetry, AMS, or MFT, you just have to delete those file sets before you install, proceed with installation. And if you install them by mistake and you say, oh, I don't want to use them because I don't want to pay for the license, you can just uninstall those particular features. Let's go to page 14, please. And this is equivalent for what is new in 8.0. In 8.0, we have removed all the 32-bit queue managers. In Linux, we used to provide a Linux 32-bit manager for Intel, but that's gone. If you have Linux in Intel, it's only for 64-bit. That's where the queue manager will be running. Still, we provide 32-bit clients also for Linux, just in case, I mean, for backward compatibility, just in case. Now, for Windows, this is an important consideration. Before 8.0, if you have Windows 7 or and you, if whatever other newer version of Windows, and your hard work was 64, everything was 64, well, under the covers, the Queue Manager was still a 32-bit application in Windows. Starting with MQ 8.0, the Queue Manager is now a full 64-bit application. We do not ship the 32-bit Queue Manager also in Windows, okay? And there's a few other things that are new in 8.0 that I mentioned in this slide. And the licensing scheme is the same as in 7.5. You will require four licenses, one for the Queue Manager, another for Telemetry, another for AMS, another for MFT. Let's go to the next page, please. Okay, this is just a quick slide here. Some people are curious to see, hey, what are the new objects that were created in each release, and are there any new system queues, and are there any new attributes? Yes, they are, and these tech notes contain the summary of what is new in those releases. In that way, you can check your scripts and so on in case you want to expand them and so on in order to cope with the new and take advantage of the new stuff. All that information is also available in the online documentation, but these tech notes provide a quick summary, and you can save a lot of time. Let's go to the next page, please. Okay, now let's cover about how you can download. You are ready to say, okay, I'm going to migrate to 7.1. How do I download 7.1? As I mentioned before, you have to go to IBM Passport Advantage. You will have to be entitled. You have to have purchased the product. And it's suggested that you download based on part numbers. And you will find several options there, and you say, well, which option should I download? Well, you could download the base 7100, and then you can download the fixed packs and apply them. But we have saved some, we have do something called rebased of the code that you can download from IBM Passport Advantage. And in particular, the latest one that you can get is 7103, which means that it is a base product plus fixed packs 1, 2, and 3, which means that once you download this one, and if you install it in a pristine environment, you will have at the end 7103 NQ installed in your machine. It saves you time. But in regarding 7.1, it is not the latest fixed pack. The latest fixed pack is 7106 at this time. Therefore, after you install 7103, we suggest that you go to the second site, which is IBM Fix Central. You download 7106, and which includes 7104 and 05, and then you will be up to date on all maintenance for NQ. Let's go to the next page, please, 17. This is similar to the previous slide, but for 7.5. And there are several tabs in that particular technical document. And one tab just says very clearly 7502, which means, again, the base plus FixPack 1 and FixPack 2 for 7.1. There is another one that needs a little bit more explanation. And this another tab called NQV7.5ISR2, parentheses V7505. Huh? What is this? Well, and it is basically 7505, okay? It's just that there is a marketing concept artifact that is for packaging purposes, and they call it Interim Feature Release Number 2. But it's really NQ7505, okay? Let's go to the next page, please. And it will be page 18. This is now similar previous two slides about NQ 8.0. And there is a little typo in the technical document itself. There are several tabs. The tab that is 8002 includes the base, 8000 plus 6-pack 8001 and the 6-pack 2. However, at the time I developed this presentation, there is kind of a misleading tab that is NQ8003. Unfortunately, the file sets are for 8002. They are not for 8003. Therefore, I suggest do not use at this point the tabs for the 8003 because they are not the correct ones, okay? Let's go to the next page, please, page 19. Now, we suggest that you download the latest fix pack, and it is available from IBM Fix Central, and you can start the process to download fix packs from the link mentioned in this slide. Let's go to page 20, please. Okay, compatibility. We have questions about this, and let me give you just the general principle. The general principle is newer code knows what has changed in the new code and knows how to interact with the older code, and it will downgrade its internal communication with the older code in order to pretend that it's at the older code. Okay? Let me give you specific examples. You have an MQ client at 7.0, okay? The client 7.0 is talking to a queue manager at 8.0. Well, let me go through the examples here in the slide. Let me start again. MQ 7.5 client is communicating with a queue manager at 7.1. The client 7.5 knows how to deal with a 7.1, and it will pretend to be a client at 7.1. Then the queue manager, which is running at 7.1, thinks, oh, I'm dealing with an NQ 7.1 client. No problem there. Now, vice versa, let's change the roles. An NQ 7.5 queue manager, when he's communicating with a client, an older client at 7.1, it will pretend that is a queue manager at 7.1 also. In that way, the client at 7.1 thinks that he's communicating with a 7.1 queue manager. Okay? And because of that feature that we have in the code, then the statement of compatibility that, yes, you can use older levels of the client or queue manager to talk to newer levels of the client or the queue manager. And there is a tech note that describes the details and also mentions a little bit about the CCDT, the client channel definition table. But I will not talk about this in this presentation. Let's go to page 21, please. Okay, and the NQ Explorer is a very good application to administer local queue managers for Windows and Linux, Intel, and also to do remote administration for queue managers. And one thing that, based on the compatibility mentioned in the previous slide, is we used to have many different versions of the standalone NQ Explorer. By the way, when you install NQ in Windows or Linux Intel, you can install the NQ Explorer. But let's suppose that you're using AIX and you do not have queue managers in Windows. Still, you can find a Windows machine and download the standalone NQ Explorer and use that Windows machine with the standalone NQ Explorer and in order to do some remote administration of the AIX machines, for example. Now, we used to have version 7.0, 7.1, 7.5, and 8.0 of the NQ Explorer, all downloadable. A decision was made to keep only version 8 and only the latest fix pack. Then if you go and download the standalone NQ Explorer, you will not see any more choices for all the versions, even if they are still supported. The only thing that you will see is a link for 8.0.0.3. which is the latest fix pack at this time, okay? And includes also the base code. I'm just giving you the warning because we get PMRs thinking, from customers saying, well, I have a 7.1 queue manager. I want to have really an NQ Explorer 7.1. Well, you can download the 8.0, the NQ Explorer, and that 8.0 will be able to work with the older queue manager. Let's go to page 22, please. Okay, and before you start your migration efforts, it's very good that you check for the system requirements. The link that I mentioned here is the general entry. I mean, you go there and then you select which version you want to check and then you get onto the platforms. And let me give you some explanations. We have some PMRs in which customers said, hey, I'm using Red Hat Enterprise Linux version 5 with NQ 7.0. And I want to upgrade to 8.0. Downloaded 8.0, but it's not working. Well, NQ 8.0 does not support Red Hat versions 5. The minimum level of Red Hat is version 6. Then, at this point, you have a choice. Okay? If you want to stay with version 5 of Red Hat, then you cannot use NQ version 8. But if you check the system requirements for NQ 7.5, you will see that Red Hat 5 is supported by NQ 7.5. Then you can use NQ 7.5. Now, if upgrading to NQ 8 is more important than staying on Red Hat version 5, then you will need to upgrade Red Hat from version 5 to 6, and then you can proceed to upgrade to NQ version 8. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 23. This is very, very important. In NQ, we have what is called the executable path of the code and the paths where the directory structure where the data and the recovery logs are located. During the process for installing or uninstalling the executables, only the directory structure that has executables is affected, which means that the data for the queue managers is not affected by the installing or uninstalling of the product. Therefore, we have PMRs from people that are concerned that if they uninstall 7.0, the queue managers will be deleted, and that's not the case, okay? Again, the installation or uninstallation of a product does not affect the data of the queue manager. It doesn't affect the recovery logs of the queue manager. Let's go to the next page, please. Now, before you doing the now when the queue managers just by uninstalling the product, because again the data is not affected, it means also that the queue managers are not automatically upgraded. You need to take an extra step for the queue managers to be upgraded. The extra step is to start them under the new code. Then when you use the strmqm command after you install the new code on an existing queue manager, the new code will say, oh, this queue manager, the last time it ran, Iran. It was under 7.0, but I am 8.0. Therefore, I'm going to upgrade the queue manager data to 8.0. This is one direction only. Once it's upgraded, we do not have facilities to downgrade that queue manager. Okay? And that's very important because some customers think, oh, I would just upgrade to 8.0, and if I don't like it, I will just downgrade. Mm-mm, you cannot do it. Therefore, what choice do you have? Your choice is, before doing the actual upgrading of the queue manager, you must take a backup of your queue manager. Therefore, once the queue manager is upgraded to version 8, for example, and you say, I don't like it, let me downgrade. You cannot downgrade. You have to delete the data from the queue manager, restore from your backup, and go back to the previous version of NQ, and then you can restart it, okay? That's very important. I don't want you to be surprised that once you go after the upgrade, you decide, how do I revert back? Well, by using a backup, restoring from a backup. Therefore, you need to take a backup. Let's go to the next page, please. Okay. And there are different levels of backup. Some people, when doing the backup, will do the backup of the entire directory structure, which is fine for slash var NQM, for example, in Unix. Some people say, well, I don't care really about any other messages there. I just want to have the object definitions. I have a bunch of queues. I have a bunch of services or listeners or channels already defined. How do I do a backup of them? Well, in NQ 7.0, you can use a utility called Save Queue Manager, which is a support pack MS03. And you can use that utility. It is explained in the next slide. And then at the end, you will have two files. One is the file with the object definitions, and the other is another file with the authorities for the queue manager. That tool does not work with NQ 7.1 or later. Why? Because there is a new tool called DMP NQ config, like a dump NQ configuration, which is based on Save Queue Manager. And it will provide those files with the object definitions. By the way, these files are just plain text. You can go ahead and edit. If you say, I really don't want to use this queue anymore, just delete it from the file. And then if you need to restore those objects, they are the commands to use. They are shown later on in this presentation, and then you can restore them. Let's go to page 26, please. And here, there are just actual examples of what you can just type in order to get the object definitions stored in files. And at the bottom of the presentation of this slide, it tells you how you can restore those object definitions from the file. Okay. Then let's go to the next page, please. Page 27. And for the authorities, this is how you can do it. The authorities are in the format of each line with a set NQ out command, and therefore it's just a batch file, really, and then you just execute the batch file. Let's go to page 28, please. And this is about how to use the new tool in 7.1. In the Safe Queue Manager, you could use it only once, specifying two arguments in the line command, two options, and then you could have two files in the output. This tool doesn't allow you to do that. You have to execute it twice. One, specifying that you want the object definitions, and the second is you specify that you want to have the authorities. And at the end, again, you will have two files, text files, and then let's go to the next page, page 29, and it tells you there how you can restore from those files. And again, these are text files that you can edit at your convenience. Let's go to page 30, please. Okay, this is, I mentioned briefly early on that in NQ 7.1, a new very strong security feature called the channel authentication record was introduced, the default behavior is that because people could try to impersonate an NQ administrator, then they could say, I'm going to, the queue manager is in host one. Well, I'll go to host two. I will pretend to be an NQ administrator and get access to that queue manager in host one. Well, with 7.1 or later, the default is that that administrator will not, even if he's a real administrator, will not be able to have a remote access. And you will get a return code of 2035, not authorized, which, by the way, from the client perspective, when you are dealing with security issues, authorization issues with the queue manager will not reveal more details. It will just say simply, not authorized. And then it's important for you to understand this because you can do traces from the client, you can do a bunch of things from the client, you will not get additional information. Again, in terms of security and authorization, you need to ask the NQ administrator to look at the error logs of the queue manager in order to find out more details on why, what is the specific security or authorization issue. There are many layers, and one of the layers is the channel authentication records, and the keyword will be blocked. It will say the user such and such was blocked from accessing the queue manager. And it's done at the channel authentication record. Now, I'm including a tech note in this slide that shows you what are the typical situations, what are the typical errors that you see, and how to overcome it. Sometimes you may say, this is a test queue manager. I really need to have it. Anybody could log in as an NQ administrator. Well, how do I set it up? Well, this tech note tells you all the steps that you need to do. Okay, let's go to page 31, please. And in version 8.0, we added another security feature in which, even though we could allow NQ administrators to access remotely the queue manager, we are asking them to provide a password also. And that catches also people by surprise and say, wow, I didn't know that I have to provide a password by default. And the tech note mentioned in this slide tells you how to do the workarounds. Okay, let's go to page 32. Okay, now after 31 slides of just preliminary stuff, now let's go into the meat of the presentation. Okay, you could decide, I want just to upgrade what we call a single stage or just simple upgrade, in which you are going to just replace 7.0 with a new version, and at the end you will have a single installation in your system. Another possibility could be, well, I have 20 queue managers. I cannot do the upgrade of all those queue managers all at the same time. What I would like to do is this weekend I will do two or three of them. Next other weekend I will do a few more. And eventually I will just upgrade all those queue managers. Some queue managers may not be able to be stopped for a while. Then how do you do that? Well, that's when you could use the multi-version that was introduced in 7.1. And again, either of these methods do not affect the data or the recovery logs, okay? They are not affected. Let's go to the next page, please, page 33. And this is just a little bit more in wording from the previous slide. Let's go to page 34. Let's start with the simplest one, which is the upgrade, which means only one version in the box. And, again, it was as in previous versions, no surprise there. And I'm giving you a specific example. For example, in Linux, the old code, the 7.0, was in the /opt/mqm, and the new code, let's say 8.0, will be also in the /opt/mqm. Very simple. Page 35, please. Now, in Linux, XP, UX, and Solaris, you must uninstall the previous version of NQ before you install the new one. In AX and Windows, you have the option to not uninstall them. But we suggest, yes, for just having a clean installation to uninstall, and then you install the new one. Let's go to page 36, please. And I wanted to illustrate the path. For example, in AIX, in 7.0, you have in the /user NQM. After you upgrade, it's the same directory. The same thing with Linux, HP, and Solaris. /opt NQM before and after. In Windows, this is slightly different. In NQ 7.0, 7.1, and 7.5, the code was 32-bit. Therefore, it goes into programs files, x86 directory. In NQM.0, the code is 64-bit. Therefore, it doesn't go into the other directory. It goes into program files, IBM, Westview NQ. That's something for you to keep in mind in case you have scripts and so on. Let's go to page 37, please. Okay. Our online documentation for the NQ migration and upgrade is very general and very abstract, and it tries to cover as many cases as general as possible. However, it lacks some details, like it doesn't tell you specifically for fixed packs or directory structures and file names and so on. And you have to navigate through many different pages. Some customers wanted to have tutorials that will have just as kind of a simplified set of instructions and providing with specific examples of, I downloaded this file, and this is the directory, and this is the actual command, and so on. Therefore, in order to illustrate with concrete examples, there are two techniques here. One is upgrading from NQ 7.0 to NQ 7.5 or NQ 8.0 in Windows. And the second technical document is the same tutorial, but for Linux. Each one, is just plain upgrade. And if you do them, you save a lot of time. You don't have to go back and forth into the documentation. Of course, these tutorials do not try to explain in detail every single option in the new commands. For that, you can refer back to the online documentation. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 38. And this is just for the technical document on the tutorial for the upgrading Windows. These are the different chapters. Chapter 1 is, for example, uninstalling NQ7.0. Chapter 2 is installing the new one. Chapter 3, and I'll mention this briefly, but I'll explain you more in the next slide. It says, running SendQ ins to designate the primary installation. Well, this could be a little bit confusing to people, and let me explain you more later on, but it is an important step to take. Do not try to skip it if you just want to have a single version. Chapter 4 means running setnqenv to set up the 8.0 commands. And then there are more examples of how you can create a queue manager version 8. It's the same process, but I just wanted to give you the full idea. And how to do the remote access. And Chapter 6, that's an important one because it tells you about the 2035 error about not authorized and how you can overcome it. It's a reference to that technique that I mentioned earlier. And the rest of the chapter. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 39, and is the equivalent for Linux. Now, even though the title is for Linux, it's only chapters 1 and 2 that are specific to Linux. The rest of the chapters, 3 to 8, apply to AIX, HPUX, and Solaris, okay? And sometimes some people want a tutorial for AIX where I tell them, well, chapters 1 and 2 are rather simple. For AIX, just go use SMIDI and uninstall and then install. But for the others, go to this TechNet tutorial and take a look from Chapter 3 onwards. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 40. And, okay. One thing that when you install 7.1 or later, let's say in a pristine environment, and let's start in this example. You have a host, no NQ install. You install 7.1 or 7.5 or 8.0. And then you try to execute a command later on, and you notice that it will not be found. And you say, what's going on? And then you start discovering and compare it to other systems, and you notice that some symbolic links at the system-level directories are not done anymore. And you are surprised and say, well, what's happening here? Well, what happens is, even though you have a single installation of enqueue, we do not know if you want to install immediately or next week or something another version at the same side-by-side with the existing one. And we do not want to assume that just because you have one version now, it will be the primary installation when you have two versions installed. Then we are forcing you, in a sense, to take the determination. Even if it's a single one installation, you must, as actually this command needs to be run as root. And in order to say, yes, I want this installation to be my primary, even though it's the only one. And that's a strange concept for some people. But it is important, extremely important step to take. Let's go to the next page, please. It's 41. And this command, setnqinst, will do two things. This is page 41. One is we'll add those symbolic links. I will have another slide about them later. And also, starting with 7.1, there is a file that is located. In 7.1, one of the things that we wanted to do with the multi-installation is to have all code underneath a single directory structure. For example, in 7.0 and below, we have the JS kit code in another location. We have conversion tables in another location, and so on. Under 7.1, everything now is under the current location of the code, except this file called etc/opt/nqm/nqinst.ini. It is a text file that will tell which are the installations done in the system and which one, if any, is the primary one. And let's go to the next page, page 42, and this is about the symbolic links. And this is the situation I mentioned. You install 7.1 for the first time, and then you try to display a usual command like a DSPUMQ. It says command not found. And then you try to display the version. It says it's not available in user bin. Huh? And then you try to find out the location, and it says it's not found. And what's going on? Let's go to page 43, please. And what happened is that, again, the symbolic links were not created. I mentioned what happened there. And then let's go to the next page. And once they are root uses setnqinst, then the symbolic links are created. And this is an example. In page 44 is an example of the contents for one installation of that new configuration file. In this case, I already named installation 1 to be the primary installation. If I install a second thing, version of MQ in the machine, it will be called installation 2. The next one will, by default, will be called installation 3 and so on. Now, there are no restrictions of what you can install. You can have 7.1 in installation one, in one installation, 7.5 in another, or 7.8.0 in another. You can have one installation with a base code, another with a six-pack 2, another with a six-pack 3. That's fine, okay? And the installation 1, 2, and 3 is just in the sequence in which they were added. There are no particular ones. One thing that I need to mention is that installation 0 is not going to be shown in this file, and installation 0 is used if you have NQ 7.0 installed, and it's going to be studied in more detail in the next few slides. Let's go to page 45, please. Okay. You have installed NQ 7.1. You have run the setnqinst, and still you may not have a problem finding the commands. Well, there is another command that was introduced in 7.1. It's called setnqenv. And you have to do the minus N for the installation name, and you can specify by path, et cetera, and it will set up some environment variables, which are very important. Let's go to page 46, please. And one way that you could help to do the set and QM and is just create a batch file, and then you can specify in the batch file what is the long command that you need to use. And also I'm adding a dspmqver/-f tool inside this the batch file, which will just tell you in a single line which is the six-pack level of the code, which is handy. Let's go to 4e7, please. And the equivalent for Linux also, you have to use setnqenv, and this is very important in Unix. In Unix, it's very important. If you use a setnqenv, you must type a dot and a space and then the rest of the command. This is called, in Unix, it's called a source or run inline, and it could be a little bit complex regarding, especially for novices in Unix, about processes and forking processes and all that stuff. If you just remember, I have to do a dot, space, and the rest of the command. Let's go to page 48, please. And you could create a shell script that will set up, run the command for you. And again, this shell script must be executed the same in ways of dot, space, and the name of the script. Let's go to page 49, please. Okay. Now let's go to the other option that you have. Okay. For the moment, I have 20 queue managers at 7.0. I don't want to upgrade all of them at the same time. I want to take my time. What can I do? Yes, you can keep 7.0, which be installation 0, and you can install version 8, for example. And you can install it in another location. Therefore, like in Unix, you could have it in /opt/nqm. That would be the location for 7.0. And you can say /opt/nqm80, the location for the 8.0 code. And then you can associate which queue managers you want to use, and they can be working at the same time. Then you could have queue managers at the end, after you install 8.0 in this machine, you could have one queue manager running at 8.0 and 20 queue managers running at 7.0 and none using 8.0. And then you upgrade one, and then you will have 19 running 7.0 and then one in 8.0 and so on. And once you upgrade all of them to 8.0, you can decide to uninstall 7.0, and that's fine. Now, the minimum version of 7.0 in order to work is 7.0.1.6. The latest six-pack level is 7.1.12 as of July 2015. Let's go to the next page, please, page 50. And in page 50 is just an example using 7.5, and then you will have two installations, one in the /opt/nqm and the other is /opt/nqm7.5, okay? And let's go to page 51. And in Unix, this is now the equivalent on Windows. And what will happen is if you decide to allow the installer for Windows to rename, to use a structure, usually it will be with _1 for the installation one, and then _2 for the next installation, and so on. In that way, even in Windows, you could have multiple versions of MQ in the same machine. Let's go to page 52, and we are getting closer to the end. There are two tutorials that tell you how to install a new version of MQ to coexist with existing versions of MQ, one for Windows and another for Linux. Let's go to page 53. And this is just what are the chapters for the tutorial for Windows. Let's go to page 54, please. And that's the tutorial for Linux. And one more, please. And based on the batch files or shell scripts that I mentioned earlier, You could create equivalent batch files and so on for new versions. In my case, in my test machines, I have four versions of MQ, 7.0, 7.1, 7.5, 8.0. I have four scripts in Windows, and then I just type set MQ 7.0 batch file, and I know that immediately I will get my 7.0 environment. I open another command prompt in Windows, and I type set-mq-8.0, and I will have my environment for version 8 and so on. This is similar with my Linux system for testing. I have four versions, and I do the same thing. And let's go to the last page for the presentation, which is just a link with references. The top one is knowledge collection. It's just a pointer to many technical notes and tutorials related to migration and upgrade. And in case you want to take a look closer at some parameters and some of the new features, you can take a look at the corresponding links for the knowledge centers. And that's the end of my presentation, and I would like to return the control back to Kathy.
Thank you, Angel, for a great presentation. Now we're going to move on to the question and answer session.
Our first question comes from Vaskara Mule. You may now proceed.
Hi. Is there any order that we should upgrade or migrate the queue managers in a clustered environment?
Yes. The suggestion is for the clusters, the full repositories to be upgraded first. Why? Because new attributes have been added to the clustering, and also there are defects that have been fixed in the latest versions of MQ related to clustering. In that way, when the full repository is upgraded first, it will be able to identify, to recognize any new attributes from the recent versions. Let me give an example. Bad example, but still I want to just to give you. Let's suppose that a full repository is version 6, just as an example. And then in version 7.0, there were a bunch of new attributes added for clustering. And if you have partial repositories of version 7.0, and that version 6 full repository will not be able to recognize them. Therefore, if you had like a version 8 full repository, it will recognize any new attributes that you have for partial repositories for the new versions. And in addition, again, is for the fixing of defects that have been added into the latest fix packs. Okay. I hope that is okay.
Is that a requirement or is that a recommendation? In our environments, we may not be able to do that.
Well, it is our recommendation. One drawback if you do not upgrade to the latest version is, again, the full repositories may encounter, they will not have the fix for a known defect. And what version are your full repositories?
Our full repositories are 7.0.1.12 and
Okay. Then that will be okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from Shankar Bonaili. You may now proceed.
Yeah, hi. My question is, can we have two queue managers with same name existing on a multi-installation? Like MQ7 and MQ8.
Okay. Let me address this question in two fronts. One, let's suppose that you have, in one machine, you have a queue manager called Test Queue Manager, and it's a version 7.0, and you have a bunch of applications that are using it, and you say, okay, I would like to replicate this queue manager in a sense, and I want to install QuickSystem in the same machine, a version 8. And you said, okay, I would like to have the same queue manager data and so on, but to be a totally different queue manager, but with the same name. In that way, I can stage the movement, the connection of the applications from the 7.0 queue manager to the 8.0 queue manager. Well, in the same machine, there is an overall restriction that you cannot have queue managers with the same name in the same machine across all the installations. Okay? Now, but you can say, well, if that's one restriction, I may go to a host manager, host number two, install version 8, and create another queue manager with exactly the same name. And now you have two separate queue managers, same name, and now you could stage things from one queue manager to another. That's a possibility, but we do not recommend it. The reason is we strongly recommend to avoid having the same queue manager name for two different queue managers in the same infrastructure. Why? The main reason is going to get confusing for many people, especially we'll be talking about this is the test queue manager for host one or host two. Any problems determination will be very confusing. But there is a technical reason also for why we do not recommend, and it's the following. One of the tenets for MQ is that it will not deliver a message twice, okay? And the message ID is a way that we can identify, hey, this is the message, particular message. The message ID uses the queue manager name as part of the message ID in the first 12 characters. Therefore, it might be possible that two totally different messages may have the same message ID if you have two different queue managers in the same network. And that will cause a tremendous amount of confusion. And it has nothing to do with MQ, really. But you may say, hey, I found two duplicate queue messages. And you may blame MQ when reality is just working as designed, and it's because you have two separate queue managers with the same queue manager name. Then my suggestion is try to avoid that scenario.
No, the reason why I am asking is since from 7.0.1.6, you can upgrade to MQ8. When you upgrade the queue manager, you can upgrade to MQ8, but you can't roll back. So I was thinking a plan where I created same queue manager with different virtual IPs on the same system with multi-installations. And then when I create it, I am assuming each queue manager will have a separate UUID with a unique ID. So when I want to migrate, actually I am not going to migrate. I will just bring down the version 7 queue manager and bring up the version 8 queue manager, with which will have a different virtual IP, or it can have a same IP. So actually it is only one queue manager running, even though we have a two queue managers with the same name.
In the same multi-version, again, in the same box, you cannot have two queue managers with the same name.
So it will have some, because it will have a different data and log directories, even that it's difficult to do it.
In the same machine, you cannot have them.
But actual data and logs are on a separate mount point.
Well, because the machine will have a single file called nqs.ini. And then, regardless of the installation, the queue manager code checks for that file and ensures that there should not be multiple entries with the same queue manager name.
Oh. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Anirban Mukherjee. Your line is now open.
Hi. My question is, we have 7016, MQ7016, and 8002 installed on HP UX server.
Okay.
So we have migrated the queue managers to 8002. Now we are planning to uninstall the older version 7016. Is there any option to avoid stopping the queue manager, and we can successfully uninstall 7016?
Well, yes. And let me tell you, one advantage of this multi-version in the same machine is that while you work on a specific version of the multi-installation, you do not have to shut down the queue managers from the other installation. For example, let's suppose you have two versions in the same machine, 7.0 and 8.0, and let's suppose the scenario in which you have originally 10 queue managers in that box, all of them at 7.0. then when you install version 8, you do not need to stop the queue managers at 7.0. Okay, now that you have 8.0, you can start migrating each queue manager from the 10 queue managers in 7.0 to 8.0. And now you have, let's say, just 5 and 5. But you want to install a fix pack in 8.0, for example. The only ones that you need to stop, the queue managers, are the ones at 8.0. Then you apply the fix pack for 8.0. You do not need to modify or to stop the queue managers at 7.0. Then let's continue with the scenario. Now you finish the upgrade, and now you do not have any queue managers anymore at 7.0. And all the queue managers are running under 8.0. And you want to uninstall 7.0. In this case, because there are no queue managers running at 7.0, you do not have to stop the ones at 8.0. Just go ahead and uninstall 7.0.
But we tried this thing. It was giving an error saying that queue managers are running, but we checked no queue managers were running.
Okay. Then may I suggest if you can open a PMR? There could be several reasons for the situation. But in theory, what I told you, you could uninstall 7.0 without affecting the 8.0 queue managers. But you are encountering an error, then I'll suggest, or a situation that is not expected, then I'll suggest to open a PMR. We may need to ask you for questions about resources, I mean the IPC resources and so on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Prashant. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you. Hi. I have a question regarding the licensing. In the initial part of the presentation, you are talking about the licensing. We do have existing product running on 7.0.1.6. We are in process of getting upgraded from development region and UAT regions. But by seeing your slide, you mentioned that for 8, we need to procure a separate license. Do we need to purchase a separate license for 8, or is that covered with a part of existing license just for we need to do upgrade?
Well, if you have a license for 7.0, you need to talk to your IBM marketing representative to purchase a license for version 8. It could be maybe an upgrade discount or something. I don't know. I'm not aware of the particular scenarios for the purchasing the licenses. But what I know is that you will need to purchase. And at the end, you will have to have two licenses, one for 7.0 and another for 8.0. How much money will be, I don't know. You will need to talk to your marketing representative.
But if we don't have a license purchase already, we should not have option to get the product downloaded from that Passport Advantage, right?
Again, that's a question for the marketing representative. My understanding is that if you have not purchased a license for 8.0, that user that logs into Passport Advantage should not be able to download 8.0. But if you are able to download, well, again, it's better to talk to the IBM marketing representative.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sorry.
And the other question I have is that about installation. As I said, we are doing in a development region. We need to uninstall the product, which is running the older version. When we do the uninstall, is it safe to uninstall that /OPTMQ, which is with the 7 version?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But as you said, there will be one only MQINI file, right, which is pointing in your primary installation, secondary installation deed. When I ran the command ls-ld to check that, etc, the file,
yes.
As you said in that presentation, user bin DSPMQ, it pointing to that OPTMQM bin DSPMQ.
Mm-hmm.
But if you uninstall OPTMQ, will it be, I mean, how it's, because we have the new installation installed on /OPTMQ8.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But when I run the command ls-usr-bin-dsbmq, it's pointing to soft link, symbolic link created to OPT-MQM.
Yes.
But that's the one we are talking about uninstalling it, right? So
correct.
When you uninstall that, how is it going to work? As you said, there will be only one file, and the file is pointing to this one.
Then when you uninstall, those symbolic links will be removed, and then automatically, the symbolic links for version 8 will not be added. You need to have the root user ID to run the setmqinst command, in order to specify that the new installation user /OPT/MQN80 will be the primary installation, and that will create a symbolic link.
Great. So it can it be done after the installation of A8? Because we have already upgraded. We have two versions running on, but this thing I noticed after your presentation. Can we go ahead now, uninstall the 7 and repoint that, as you said, setmq inst command?
Yes. Now, if 7.0 is still installed, you don't have a choice to change to the primary installation. If 7.0 is installed, it's the only primary installation. You have to uninstall 7.0,
right,
and then you can specify the primary installation.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There are some questions that are in the group chat. First one, Anil, came from Jan. Does 7.1.0.3 include all the patches for 7.1.0.1?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Our fix packs are cumulative. Then let's suppose right now there are 6 fix packs for 7.1. Then you install 7.1.0.0. And then if you have not applied any fix packs, and you don't have to do 5 downloads from Fix Central. You don't have to download Fix Pack 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and apply them. You can download only 7106, the last one, and when you apply it, it will include all the fixes from previous fix packs. It's cumulative.
And then the next one, will MQ Client 7.0.1 still be supported? Will that old version still work with MQ Server 7.1 or 7.5?
Yes.
I think the next question that's in our group chat was at 1208 that came from Shaker, but it was the two queue managers. I think we've answered that with question number two on the phone.
Yes. Actually, also between queue managers and queue managers, yes, the compatibility is for all components.
This came from Rajini. Could you please share the URL links for tutorial file upgrade for Windows and AIX?
Okay. For Windows, it is in page 37. I have the upgrade tutorials for Windows and for Linux. Now, the tutorial for Linux, only chapters 1 and 2 about the installation apply only to Linux, but chapters 3 and forward apply also for AIX. And the upgrade in AIX is, again, is to uninstall AIX, use this MIDI and select software, uninstall, and remove the code for MQ. And then you go ahead and install the new version using also MIDI on AIX. Now, chapters 3 and 4 were for the tutorial upgrading slide 37 about Linux. Applies also, again, for AIX. We do not have a tutorial only for AIX.
Right, the next question is from Venue. Can we use MQ Client 32-bit application to connect to MQ version 8 64-bit version?
Yes, there are two types of connections. One is what is called the transport type of client or network. The queue manager has no idea what is the bitness from the client application. It could be 32-bit, 64-bit, could be Windows, could be AIX. It doesn't care. Then it's fine. You can do that. However, if you're using the other transport type, the WIS bindings, which is local, then if you have a 64-bit version of the code of the queue manager, version 8, then you must have 64-bit client application for bindings mode. Okay.
The next question comes from Rui. Can we use the output of Save Manager on version 7.1, 7.5, and 8.0?
Yes. Yes, you can.
And the next question is from Raji. Is there any document to upgrade from 7.0.0.x to 7.1.0.3 in AIX?
Yeah, we do not have a specific tutorial for that. My recommendation is, again, from slide 37, take a look at the technical document for Linux. And chapters 1 and 2 are only for Linux, but chapters 3 and 4 are for all platforms, including AIX.
And the next question comes from Vasit. Say if we have MQ7.0.1.12 installed and we want to migrate to 8.0, if we go with coexisting installations of MQ, can we associate the queue managers already defined in 7.0.1.12 with 8.0 instead of recreating them? If yes, are the messages on the queues preserved when we associate a queue manager to 8.0?
Yes, yes, it's possible. Let me tell you the following. The NQS.ini file is a file in Unix in which you have the mapping, an entry, you have stanzas for each queue manager. If you have 10 queue managers, you will have 10 stanzas. In 7.1 or later, there will be an NQ stanza, an entry indicating which is the installation that is associated with that queue manager. When you install a new version of the code, that QMS, the MQS.ini file is not touched, okay, due by the installer of the code. Then when you decide that you want a queue manager to be run under a different version when you are using multi-instance of side-by-side, then you have to use a command called setmq and specify, I want this queue manager to be associated with this new installation. Then by doing that in the MQS.ini, you will see that that command will add a new line to the stanza for the queue manager, and that will allow you to start the queue manager under the new version. Now, any messages that you have in the queue manager will not be discarded. If the queue manager was running at 7.0, and then you decide that it was time to start with version 8, when you start with version 8, it will say, hey, this installation, the queue manager is associated with 7.0. I cannot start it unless you tell me that I can start it. Then you issue the setmq command to associate it with version 8. Then when you start it, the queue manager will just modify some data from the object definitions, but will not touch the actual messages. Therefore, at the end of the upgrade, the messages that you have in other queues, I mean, they will be fine. They will not be touched. I hope that answers the question.
Just so you know, Bassett said yes, it answered his question. So just some feedback. I'm sorry.
Yes, no problem.
All right. The next question, is there any documentation for configuring a queue manager in high availability mode?
Yes, in version 7.0, a feature was introduced called multi-instance, and it's not related really to migration, but it is affected by migration, and I need to explain a little bit. And I have some tutorials about multi-instance queue managers. Now, let's suppose that now you have a queue manager that is multi-instance running at 7.0.1.12, for example, in host 1 and in host 2. How do you do the upgrade of a multi-instance queue manager? Well, what you need to do is go to the standby and stop it, and then upgrade that particular one, and then you have to do the switchover after the upgrade, and you have to stop what was the active. You have to stop it, and then you can upgrade to that one. Please keep in mind that if you have 7.0 and if you want to upgrade to version 8 and you go to the standby upgrade to version 8, and if for some reason you want to go back to the 7.0, it will not work, okay, because the queue manager data has been upgraded to version 8. Therefore, it will not run under version 7.0. Then you have to do plan about that. I have some examples of a stage upgrade for multi-instance. And if you can send me an email, I'll be glad to send those steps for you.
And for those of you that would like to know, the email for Anil is on slide 1 of the presentation where you can email him a question.
Thank you, Kathy.
The next question came from Gabriel. and that is a queue manager V7.0.1.12 can be interconnected to another queue manager V8.0.
Yes, you can.
Okay. The next one was that came in. Please let me know if we choose standalone upgrades from WMQ 7.0.1.x to 7.1.0.3 to do we need to uninstall 7.0.1.x after upgrade for Windows AIX.
Actually, in my opinion, is to uninstall first the 7.0 and then install 7.1. However, in AIX and Windows, you can install 7.1 without uninstalling 7.0. But what is going to happen is it's going to use the same directory structure, and a backup copy will be done of the old code. And I do not know facilities in which you can just target that backup directory into, say, to Windows or AIX, remove this. And I think that the backup is only reused if you decide to uninstall the latest version. And it gets a little bit complicated, and my suggestion, again, is uninstall first and then install second.
Another question is almost similar but a little bit different. Please let me know if we choose single-stage upgrade from MQ 7.0.1.x to 7.1.0.3. To do this, do we need to uninstall 7.0.1.x after upgrading for Windows AIX?
Actually, it's the same. Yeah, the terms of a standalone upgrade and single-stage upgrade is the same.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem. Yes.
Do we have the same document for Solaris or just use a Linux one?
Similar for the AIX one, we do not have a particular tutorial for Solaris. You can use the tutorial for Linux, ignore chapters 1 and 2, and then just continue with chapters 3. Again, you just use Solaris to uninstall 7.0, then install the new version, and then follow the chapters 3 and forward for the tutorial for Linux.
Okay, and then we have from Gabriel again. In Queue Manager version 8.0, connectivity can be enabled by two different encryption protocols, that is SSL v3 and TLS.
Yes.
Okay. And then from Shankar, in case if we want to fall back Queue Manager from MQ8 to MQ7 from backups, what should we do when we create Queue Manager again from backup so that it runs on MQ7 instead of MQ8?
Okay. Let me just give you the scenario. You have 7.0. You have a machine that doesn't have in queue. You install 7.0. You create some Queue Managers. There is now data for the Queue Managers. You decide to upgrade to version 8, but you take a backup of the data for those Queue Managers at 7.0. Then you uninstall 7.0, install 8.0, upgrade to 8.0. Now, the data for those Queue Managers is now at 8.0. And you say, okay, I do not want to continue with version 8. I want to go back to version 7. First of all that in case you modify data and so on in the version 8 Queue Manager, all those updates will be gone when you revert back. Then you have to delete the Queue Manager, and then you have to restore and uninstall version 8. Then you have to restore from the backup that you did before the upgrade and install 7.0. And in that way, you can restart and restart the Queue Manager.
Do you think it's worth changing from channel to channel authentication exit records? Did I get that right? Do you think it's worth changing from channel to channel authentication exit records?
Well, let me rephrase it. If you have some channel exits, and if you want to use now channel authentication records, I think channel authentication records is it will be easier for you to maintain. You do not have to worry about user exits. And the channel authentication records has a lot of functionality. And there are different layers in the channel authentication records. And it allows you to do a lot of things, more than just the security exits, the channel exits that you have, in terms of stopping people from using the channel, allowing people. You can allow by IP address. You can specify different combinations. You can also map user IDs to other user IDs. It is a very powerful feature. And if you send me an email, I can send you some a reference to a tutorial that has many examples on how you can implement channel authentication records.
At this time, there are no more questions, so we will conclude the presentation. Thank you very much, Angel. And to repeat a couple things that are in the chat, they said thank you for a great presentation, and we are impressed. So thank you very much for presenting today. It was very well received, and it was very interesting. You all have a great day.